If you have been feeling stuck in a miserable job that you hate for years and you, for the life of you, can't figure out why you haven't yet left, this is the episode for you. Because in this episode, I'm sharing four reasons why you likely haven't yet left that job that you hate, but I also share the solution and what will get you out of your misery and into a fulfilled career. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for professional women ready to leave miserable jobs, stop being overlooked, and land higher paying roles they're excited about without compromising who they are. I'm Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who went from feeling unfulfilled and stuck at work to thriving in a career I've loved for over 10 years. Along the way, the professional awards, $3 million federal grant, and textbook I wrote are some evidence of the impact I've been able to have, all while building a coaching business to help women like you find fulfillment and have impact in their careers. Inside my programs, Find Your Fulfilling Career and Next Level Career, I guide women to clarify their path, land dream jobs, and negotiate salary increases with faith and confidence. Whether you're ready to leave a soul-sucking job or advance into your next level role, you're in the right place. Together, we'll uncover what's holding you back and help you step confidently into the career and life God has for you. Let's dive in. Hello, wonderful listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. I'm so glad to have you here and honored to have you listening. Today, we are going to be talking about why you haven't left that job you hate just yet. And you'll hear in a little bit why I'm saying just yet, but I really want to talk to you if you have been stuck in a job that's making you miserable and unhappy, and you have been there for years, because candidly, most of the women I work with, that is the situation. They have known that they have hated their jobs for years, but they have stayed in that job for all those years until they came to work with me, which was when they were able to finally leave. And if you have been in a job you hate for a while, there might be a part of you that's wondering, like, why am I still here? Like, I know this is not working for me. I know I'm unhappy, but I'm still here. I don't know why every time I try to leave, it doesn't work out, or I don't follow through. It can lead to a bit of guilt and shame also. I've seen that for yourself, like some self-shame and self-guilt of why am I still here? I want to validate some of your feelings today so that you stop beating yourself up. But first, I think it's important to even clarify, what does it actually mean to be stuck in a miserable job? What is a miserable job? How do you know if your job is miserable? And I sat back and I took a look at over 6 years of data from all the women that I have coached and found a pattern of the specific markers that make a job miserable. And I created a framework around that word stuck, because I cannot tell you, like, if I got a dollar for every time I hear that word stuck when it comes to women describing their job and how they feel in their job, I would be very, very rich. Might even be a millionaire, to be honest, because that is like a recurring theme that I hear is I just feel so stuck. I'm stuck in this job. I don't know where else to go. So let's talk about what it means to be stuck in a miserable job. To help you really gauge, even before I go any deeper, is your job making you miserable? Are you unhappy? What are some of the key markers that will help you know? Well, the S stands for stressful and draining. So you dread your work daily. Like when you wake up, you're waking up with like a ball. It feels like a ball of lead in the pit of your stomach. You don't want to go to the work. You don't want to talk to the people. And when you do go to the work, you are always drained. You have no energy left for yourself or your loved ones. When you come home, all you want to do is lay on the couch. You don't want to talk to your partner. You don't have energy to play with your kids. You don't want to go to brunch with your friends on the weekend, because it's like you need all that downtime to recover from how much the job stressed and drained you during the day and during the week. The T is toxic or a misaligned environment. So when you are working in a company where your values don't match the company culture or the leadership is toxic, and I know if you're in one, you know what I mean. That boss was always microaggressing you, giving you last-minute tasks, taking credit for your work, keeps putting off when you want to have conversations about promotions or a raise. They tell you they will get back to you, but they never do. Those coworkers who are constantly backbiting or not doing their share of the work and blaming you for it. you are in an environment that is toxic and is negatively impacting, like you can feel the toxicity impacting your mental health, your physical health, and your relationships. So whether that is you're losing weight or you're gaining weight, your hair is falling out, you have ulcers, you have insomnia, you're feeling more anxious, more depressed, less creative, less motivated, like it is ruining your health. That's the T. The U is underpaid and undervalued. I mean, that one kind of speaks for itself. You know you deserve more, but you're not getting paid well or even being recognized for your effort. The C is closed off from growth. So you have no access to opportunities to grow in your career, to advance in your career, to learn new skills, develop new skills. And so you're feeling stagnant. Like, I've been doing the same thing for 5 years now. I haven't grown. I'm not learning anything new. I'm not developing. I don't see a way up. That can make you feel miserable. And then finally, the K is it keeps you doubting yourself. So everything that I just said earlier, what that usually leads to is that you now question your worth. You wonder if you're qualified for better opportunities. You question if you are as smart as you thought you were. You maybe even stop trying to be recognized, stop trying to be rewarded because you have lost that motivation because it has been stressful, draining, toxic, you've been underpaid, and you aren't growing. Those are the key five markers for what a miserable job is. And when you're in that miserable job for any length of time, it usually leads to you feeling stuck. And one thing I want to pause here and really just emphasize is even though I created that framework around the word stuck, it's because so many women use it. But I want you to recognize that stuck is a mindset, not a circumstance. Like, think about what it means to be stuck. You can't move. You can't change. You can't go anywhere. That is usually not the reality of your career situation, but you feel that way because you don't think you have any options outside the job you're in. In fact, you know what? I'm already rolling into the why you haven't left. So let's just keep going. Like, so yes, you're in a miserable job, but why haven't you left even though you've known you've been unhappy for years? Well, one is you don't think you have options. You think that what you're doing now is all you can do in your career. And because you don't like what you're doing, the idea of doing what you're doing now in a different capacity or even at a higher level just makes you feel even more anxious because you're like, I don't want to do this. I want to do something else, but I have no idea what that something is. And so the lack of options can usually lead to you feeling like you are stuck. And sometimes one thing I've noticed is when I think of the women I've worked with who have been with a company for over 8 years, sometimes your length of tenure in a company is the very reason why you feel stuck. Because you've been at that company and at that job for so long, you haven't had the opportunity to explore anything else. You don't know where your skills can transfer to. You don't know where your work experiences will transfer to, or even what other industries your work experience and skills can transfer to, because you have conditioned yourself and your brain to only see you through the lens of what you're doing now. And so when you don't have any clue what you want, of course, you're going to stay where you are because it doesn't make sense to leave a job when you don't know what you're going to. So one of the reasons why you haven't left that miserable job is because you don't have any options, at least in your mind. Now, I'm going to address this later, but in your mind, you think you don't have any options and you don't even know how to research your options to see what is available and out there for you. So you just stay. So that's the first reason why you haven't left is you don't think you have options and you don't know what you want. The second reason why you likely haven't left that miserable job yet is that you think leaving is too risky. You think leaving your job is too risky. You think that by leaving, you're going to lose more than what you are experiencing in the job. And so whether that is financial, stability, identity, any of those things can feel like a risk. And mind you, I'm saying this, but it's also valid because when you leave a job, you don't just lose the job, you lose a lot of other things. Like, there's a lot of loss that comes with job change. Specifically, when you leave a job, you also lose a sense of identity because a lot of us tie our identity to our jobs. And so for your brain, leaving a job is not just making a change in where you work, it's making a change in who you are, because that you see yourself as you are an accountant, you are a teacher, you are an engineer, you are a project manager. And so leaving feels scary. When you leave a job, you also lose a sense of routine because when you are working, you know when to wake up, when you sit down at your desk, when you go to your office, you know what to do. And routine is comfortable for our brain. Our brain loves and thrives on routine. And so losing that is scary and painful. You also lose a sense of community because you might not like your colleagues, or maybe you do like your colleagues. And so they have become your community. And so leaving that job is also losing a sense of support, a sense of community. Leaving your job is also can also lead to losing like this sense of a vision for your future, because we often, when we think about our day in and day out, we often envision our future based on our job, right? I'm going to get this promotion. I'm going to lead this project. I'm going to move to this department. That's how we sort of plan our work. And so we often have an idea of here's where I'm going to be in the next 3 years, 2 years, whatever it may be. And when you leave that job, you lose that vision. And that can, it can feel like you're like hanging off a cliff without any support, without anything tethering you to stable ground. It can feel very disorienting. And then finally, financial security. When you leave a job, it can feel like you're losing your financial security because now that steady paycheck is gone. And that's scary. So when I say you believe leaving is too risky and that's why you haven't left, I am not saying that in a judgmental way at all. I really do mean like you see it as risky because yes, it might be risky in some sense. You will lose some of these things. And at the same time, the question to ask yourself though is, what is that false sense of safety that you have in your job? What is it costing you? Because again, if you think back to just a few minutes ago when I defined what a miserable job looks like, yes, you are holding on to identity and routine and community, and you're also paying in your mental health. You're paying in your physical health. You're paying because you're not growing. And so that's impacting your earning potential. You are paying by being unhappy all the time because you don't enjoy your work. You're always drained. You're paying in your relationships because you don't have the energy to invest in your relationships. So what is that sense of safety costing you? It's important to think about that sometimes. It's important to think about that sometimes. So that's the second reason. The first reason was you don't feel like you have any options. So you don't, because you don't know what you want. Second reason is you believe that leaving is too risky. The third one, and this one, I'm just gonna like prep you a bit that if you are stuck in a miserable job, I'm about to come for your edges just a little bit, but I want you to hang in there and listen to me because I'm saying this genuinely, like legit, genuinely, I'm saying this with love because I know and have seen firsthand what it does to you and your sense of self and your sense of identity when you stay in a job that you hate, that is draining you. And so I'm saying this to you with love. But you haven't left your miserable job yet because you are not uncomfortable enough. It is just that simple. Like the pain of your job has not overcome the desire to find something else. You're not in enough pain. You're not as stressed as you think you need to be. You are not uncomfortable enough. Yes, you hate the job, but you know what to expect. You know who to avoid. You know when to turn things in. If you're commuting, you know what time to leave your home to avoid traffic. You know who to play the games with to get what you need. You are not uncomfortable enough. You're playing it safe because you keep prioritizing other things over your career suffering. You're telling yourself that you have family priorities and you have other projects that you're working on. You keep telling yourself that it's not a good time for you to make any uncertain moves. But you're suffering in that job and in that company. When is it going to be a good time for you to make a move? Like at some point, you have to recognize that there's no magical right time. Like if you are uncomfortable enough, you will make the right time to make a fulfilling decision for yourself. It's really just that simple. Because like, yeah, come on. Like we know this in different areas of our lives. I can complain about something all day, every day and still not do anything about it. Like that is just human nature. We can sit down. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking of like the Israelites. This is not directly related. This is just a side note because that's where I am in the Bible right now. I think of the Israelites and how they were always complaining. Give us bread, then give us meat. Oh, we want to go back to Egypt because, you know, you're making us suffer out here in the wilderness. It's like, you want to go back to slavery? Because what? You haven't reached the promised land? Even though out here in this wilderness, there's literally a cloud of light over you every day and a pillar of fire. Like, it's like
magic. God is following you in fire. And you're saying you want to go back to slavery where you were being whipped and beaten because you want some turkey and some chicken? Really, sis? And you know what? I initially said it wasn't related, but it kind of is. It kind of is related, because if you were in enough pain, you wouldn't keep looking at your Egypt with rose-colored glasses. You wouldn't. You wouldn't keep looking at or romanticizing your misery. You wouldn't keep telling yourself, it's not that bad. Some people don't have a job. At least my bills are getting paid. I have other priorities. And I'm not saying none of those things are invalid. They are valid. And at the same time, you can think about getting your bills paid and work actively towards leaving that job. What have you actually done to try to leave the job? You've been complaining for 5 years, but what have you intentionally done? And mind you, scrolling LinkedIn at 2 a.m. is not an intentional move. You're doing that because that day they just really, really frustrated you and you were like, "It's, you know what? It's time for me to go." But you know your cycle. I know your cycle. I know your cycle because multiple clients have told me the cycle. This week is terrible. I gotta go. So you look at LinkedIn for a little bit. And then next week it's chill. And you're like, you know what? Maybe it's not that bad. And so then you stay for a month. Maybe it's not that bad. Then another week they stress you out. Oh, I gotta get out of here. And then it's chill. And then you up and down the roller coaster and you look up and you've been in that job that's draining you for 5 years. You're not uncomfortable enough. Until your desire for fulfillment overcomes your fear of change, your career situation is not going to change. Until you want to be in a job you love more than you're scared of making the move. Until you want to be in a job that fulfills you more than you're scared of making a move. Until you want to be valued and recognized and seen and grow more than you're scared of making a move, you're not going to do anything about your career situation. It's just that simple. Now, remember, I said at the beginning of this that I'm saying this with love, and I really do mean it. But I'm also a counselor, right? And I know that you can't change what you don't acknowledge. I mean, that's really just life. Until you acknowledge something, you're not going to change it. So I want you to be honest with yourself. Like, you have been complaining about your job for years that it's making you unhappy. You're miserable in this job. And are you really uncomfortable? Are you really uncomfortable to the point where you need to make a difference? I need my situation to change. Not, I kind of want it to change, but I could hang in there for a couple more years. No. If you're hanging in there for a couple more years, it's not as bad as you're making it seem. If you're going to complain about it, what are you going to also do to change the situation? Are you really ready to put in the work, put in the time, put in the energy, put in the money, invest in yourself to make your career situation change? I want you to think about it, okay? And then the last reason why you haven't left your miserable job yet is that you are making fear-based decisions. You're afraid of so many things. You're afraid of starting over in your career. You're afraid of making less money. You're afraid of making the wrong move, of not having the right skills to do something else in a different industry. You're afraid of not being good enough for any other job. You're afraid of what people will say or people will think when you leave this job. Now, let me pause here and say, all of those fears are valid. They're very, very valid. And at the same time, there really is a difference between feeling fear and being afraid. Fear is an emotion like any other emotion that we experience: happiness, joy, sadness, excitement, whatever it may be. It's an emotion, which means you can't always control when it shows up. Anything can spark fear, which in this situation, when you think of changing your career situation where it has felt so stable and comfortable for so long, it can make you feel fear because you don't know what else is out there. You don't know what's going to happen when you make this change. So your brain doesn't feel safe doing it. That's fine. Fear is fine. The emotion is fine. What you have control over, though, is how you make your decisions. Are you going to make your decisions based on that fear or based on faith? Because when you start making fear-based decisions, that's when you have shifted from feeling fear to being afraid. Fear is an emotion. We have control over what we do with our emotions. We can't control when they show up. They show up whenever, based on our situation and our environment. But what we do with that emotion, how we act on that emotion, is up to our control. So when you feel your fear of all those things I said, less money, starting over, making the wrong move, when you feel that and then you choose to stay in your job because of your fear, you have now shifted from feeling fear to being afraid. You're making fear-based decisions. So now let me pause here and say, if you're also a Christian, you have to recognize that you cannot live in fear and faith at the same time. You just can't. Because by its very definition, faith is when you're believing in something that you can't see. Fear is when you are scared of what you can't see. But you can choose how you act, or rather which belief you're going to act on. Are you going to act on your fear that everything is going to crash and burn, which usually means staying in that job you hate that's making you miserable? Or are you going to act on faith, which usually means taking a chance, taking a risk, believing that God is going to provide for you and that you are qualified enough to do something else? What are you going to choose? Are you going to make fear-based decisions or faith-based decisions? Because you can't do both. Now, I will pause here and say, honestly, if you're a Christian, there's only one right answer to that. And that's not me saying this, but the Bible literally tells us, without faith, you cannot please God. I'm just saying, like, this is not Tega saying this. The Lord said, if you ain't got faith, baby girl, you're not going to make me happy. It's in the Bible. In fact, let me find the specific verse. I found it. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Girl, in fact, the end of that verse is even more powerful than what I was thinking. Because look at that. It says that you have to believe that God exists and that he will reward you if you're seeking him. He can reward you in your career. He can reward you with a job that lets you leverage the talents he has put in you. He can reward you with a job that pays you well enough to pay off that debt so that you can be a lender and not a borrower. Right? So I'm just saying that you're making fear-based decisions, but if you're a professing Christian and you love Jesus and you want to please God, you might want to think about another way to go about this, okay? That's just all I'm going to say. Now, there's a reason why I did say yet at the beginning of this, meaning why you haven't left your job yet, because I hope that this episode will cause you to evaluate your situation and then take action. Not just go back to, I don't have options, I'm afraid, it's too risky, I'm not uncomfortable enough. Or let me even pause and say, look, let me pause and put it this way. Maybe you're not ready to take action. And if you're not ready to take action, that's fine. I just want you to be aware. That's the word. Just be aware of the choice you're making. Because if you're saying that your job is making you miserable and you keep complaining that you hate your job and you want something different, but you're not doing anything to change your situation, recognize that. And then maybe think about how you're going to make the job work because you're not ready to make a change. Right? Like, stop complaining if you're not going to put in any effort to change what you're complaining about. Because this is why your loved ones are sick of hearing you talk about your job. This is why they're like, you know what? If you're not going to do anything about it, don't talk to me about it. Because to them, it looks like you're not doing anything about it. Now, mind you, I know why you're not doing anything about it. I'm about to tell you now. But just, if you're going to make a decision, know the decision you're making and stick to it. If you're going to choose to stay in that job you hate, recognize that that is the decision you're making. But if you're listening to this and you're thinking, wow, okay, I see why I have felt stuck, but I don't want to stay stuck in 2025. Like, I'm actually ready to get out of this miserable situation. The first thing you have to do is just start with a vision of what it means to be fulfilled in your career. Start with a vision of what a fulfilling career is. And look, girl, you don't even have to look for that vision because I'm about to tell you. The same way I sat down and thought about what does it mean to be a miserable job with stuck, I'm going to tell you what it means to be fulfilled in your career. The first F, fulfilling career is one that fits your values. You work in alignment with your core beliefs and your personal mission. whatever it is you believe in, whether it's family time, diversity, independence, autonomy, peace at work, job tranquility, whatever is important to you and that you value, your job fits with your values. Your job also utilizes your strengths. So you're using the skills you actually enjoy, not just what you're good at, because when you do anything long enough, you will eventually become good at it. It doesn't mean you enjoy it. And if you're like most of my clients and you have been working for over 8 years, girl, you have gotten good at many things. Many things just because you were the one that was available, you were the one that they had to ask, whatever it may be, but it doesn't mean you enjoy it. So when I say it utilizes your strengths, I mean the skills that actually bring you joy and make you feel good about yourself. When you're fulfilled, it's a job that leaves room for growth. So there are clear pathways for you to advance and grow in your job. It financially rewards your efforts, so you're well compensated and able to support your dream lifestyle. You're not living paycheck to paycheck. You actually have the funds that you need to support yourself. It is free from faith conflicts, meaning your job doesn't require you to compromise your faith or your integrity. They're not telling you to lie on the report or to fudge a report or to charge more than you're supposed to charge. It also lets you trust God and not a paycheck. So yes, you are getting paid, but your confidence comes from God, not the job stability. You know that you have the job because of God, and you feel peace in your work because you know that you're doing work that aligns with or allows you to, I should say, glorify God, which is your purpose. It also lowers stress. So you have work-life balance. Your work environment is healthy. You enjoy your coworkers. Maybe you even do social things with your coworkers occasionally. But either way, you're not super stressed. Yes, you might have busy seasons where you're slightly stressed. That's normal for every job. Like for me, the end of the semester, girl, I'd be fighting for my life. Like I got papers to grade, research to finish. But that's not my day in, day out, every day. I know it's just for a season. So when you're fulfilled, you're in a job that lowers stress. And then it elevates your confidence. You feel seen. You feel valued. You feel capable in your career. You feel strong, powerful, and confident. You know that you're good at what you're doing and you're continuing to get better and growing in it. And then finally, it drives fulfillment. That's the end goal. You wake up actually excited about the job you're about to do. You're motivated about your job. You're energized by your work, even in the moment. This is something I always say is the marker of a fulfilling career is not that it never feels hard. When you're doing work that is fulfilling, the marker is that even in the moments when it feels hard, it still energizes you. And like, I'm the perfect example of that. Because I remember, so before, and I've told the story before where before I got into my job as a professor, research wasn't my strong suit. I had never done research before. I had never done data analytics. I didn't even know that I could be good at this job, but it was the next trajectory for me. I had been fulfilled doing counseling for a while and becoming a professor was my next step. But in this job, when I started researching, there were moments where I would be working on a research project. And I'm just like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And so I am watching YouTube videos. I am reading articles. I am investing in resources to help me develop the skill set. And the thing is, in those moments when I was doing that, yes, it was work, but I actually felt good about the work I was doing. I was learning a skill that I knew would make me better, that I loved the outcome of the skill. So it's like, even when you're putting in effort to do the work and get better, you're still, it pours back into you. It energizes you. That is one of the core differences between a miserable job and a fulfilling career is that you don't come home feeling drained every day. When you leave work, you actually feel lit up. You feel like you can do more things because you're energized. So that's the vision that you have to start with of where you're going and what it means to be fulfilled in your career. Then you have to recognize that staying stuck isn't safer. And I'm doing air quotes. Because again, you think it's safer because you think it's more stable, but you're paying for that safety in your time. Time is being wasted, time that you're not growing, time that you're not developing, time that you're not learning. You're paying for that safety in money because I'm sure that you haven't gotten a significant raise in that job in a while. Maybe you're getting those 3 to 5% raises, but isn't inflation like 7% or something? So those raises are not even keeping up with inflation. So your earning potential is actually going backwards because you're not earning more money. You're paying for that safety in energy. Yes, it's stable, air quotes, and safe, air quotes, but you're coming home every day and you have no energy left for anything. That's why when women come to me and they say, I want better work-life balance. I'm like, your work-life balance is out of whack because all your energy is going towards work, which is why you have no energy for life. You have literally spent all your energy just trying to survive in that job you hate, that you don't have energy for life. That's why you don't have work-life balance. And you're paying for that safety in emotional well-being. You're paying with all the anxiety you feel, with the depression you feel, the lack of motivation, the lack of creativity, the racing thoughts. That's payment. So you have to recognize that, okay, is this really safer? Like, is it safe for my body physically, physiologically? Is it safe for my nervous system? Is it safe for my future to stay in this job? The answer is likely no. And then remembering that when you act on faith, you're usually moving forward. But when you act on fear, you're usually staying in your comfort zone. If you are comfortable in your pain and comfortable in your discomfort, you're letting fear lead the way. Now, all of this even then comes down to really the real reason that you haven't left is that first one I said is where you think you don't have options. And so you have to learn how to do career discovery research, where you explore your options and you expand your horizon of what is possible for you in your career, where you discover and find the other things that you can do, the other industries that you can work in, the places you can take your skills to. Because when you expand your options, you will realize that you're not stuck. You will realize that you're not stuck because you can go somewhere else and you know where you can go. Once you give yourself options, you will feel safer and more confident in making a move. Especially if you're someone who has been in the same path in your career for years, where you feel stuck because you've only ever done one thing, career discovery research will address that. And this is something I actually teach. Like, this is the first month in my coaching program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. I teach women how to do this. I show you literally what to research, where to research, what platform to use to research, how to research, so that you can recognize all the options that are available to you in your career. Because we often don't talk about the fact that research in itself is a skill. And as a researcher, like proper researcher, I know this. Like, there's a very specific process for you to be able to look at a job and filter it to say, is this something I will actually enjoy? And then making a list and then auditing your options, making, you know, comparing your options and then deciding on which of the choices you're going to go with. But when you open yourself up to choices, when you give yourself choices, you will see that you're not stuck and you will start taking action to leave that job that's making you miserable. And I know you're hearing this and there's a part of you that might be thinking, okay, but what if I make the wrong move? Like, what if I leave my job and I regret it or I hate it? And yes, that is a possibility, right? Like, that is always a reality. I'm not a magician. I'm never going to say, you know, you're not going to hate your move. Although I haven't had any clients tell me they've hated the move they've made because the way I teach you to do it, you're 90% sure that you're going to enjoy the job. That's just how I work. But what I will tell you is, in my opinion, the only wrong move you can make is not making a move. Because you already know that the job that you're in is making you miserable. Like, you already have evidence that this job is stressing you out. It's draining you. It's toxic. You're not getting paid well. You're not growing. You're not advancing. It's making you doubt yourself and doubt your skills. Like, you have years of evidence that the place that you're in is bad for you. So in my opinion, the only wrong move you can make is choosing to stay in a place that has proven that it is bad for you. Like, I can't expand on that anymore. But that's, to me, the only wrong move you can make is doing nothing. Because if you at least research your options and you make a move and you try something else, even if it doesn't work out, guess what? At least you know that you have the skills that you need to make a better move. And you will have data. When you have made a move, you will have data that says, okay, you know what? This was not the right place. This is what I didn't look out for. This is what I missed in my interviews. I'm going to do this differently the next time. And then you'll shift again. Now, I will say again, when my clients work with me in FYFC, usually they make moves that they don't regret. They're pretty sure because they have clarified who they are. They have done the discovery, like they have explored their options. So they didn't just make a move on a whim. They did career discovery in the process and they explored. Usually we explore 3 to 5 different career options before they even make a choice. And they do this within 30 days. So I'm just going to put that out there. And at the same time, I recognize that it's a genuine fear for you to say, what if I leave this job that's paying the paycheck to go to a different job only to hate it? You just have to consider, are you worth the risk of going somewhere else for your fulfillment? Or are you going to keep settling in a job that you're suffering in? That's really what it comes down to, candidly. So if you are ready to leave that miserable job and land a job you're genuinely excited about, while also increasing your salary by 5 figures, at least $10,000, you should definitely join my 12-month coaching program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. I've talked about FYFC a bit, but this is where I help women leave miserable jobs and land jobs they are excited about while they're actually increasing their salary. So they're not starting over and they're not taking a pay cut. Doors are opening back up to my program and I'm kicking off with a free training. If you go to leaveyourmiserablejob.com, you will learn more about the training and how to register. That link is also in the episode description or the show notes. During this free training, you're going to learn the real reason you feel stuck in your job. It's not what you think. You'll learn the only 3 strategies that you need to finally leave your miserable job and land a job that excites you while increasing your salary. And I'm going to share the step-by-step career discovery research process that keeps you from guessing up what your next move needs to be and helps you find the exact roles that align with who you are now. Again, go to leaveyourmiserablejob.com to get registered because I can't wait to see you in a live training and be your coach. And I hope that if nothing else, today's episode helps you reconsider if you have been settling in your job and gets you thinking about what you're going to do to change your situation. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you found it helpful and I will catch you on the next episode. Hey, thanks for tuning into this episode. If you're ready to finally leave your miserable job and land a role you're genuinely excited about without starting over in your career or taking a pay cut, then I've got something for you. Head over to leaveyourmiserablejob.com to access my free training. In it, I'll walk you through the exact steps to leave that job you hate and land one you love, all while increasing your salary. Again, that's leaveyourmiserablejob.com, or you can find the link in the episode description. Being miserable at work doesn't have to be your story anymore, so let's change it together.